You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Questions apply.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome into the gym class on this chilly Tuesday afternoon here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. We, as always, very much appreciate it. Scott Unash from our studios here on the Southwest Side. Buttons will be on the other side of the glass here in just a little bit. Mark Dukes from his home on the Southwest Side is everyone being vigilant and socially distant here on this Tuesday afternoon. Joining you on 1600 AM along with 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM. And also the mobile app from KGYM, your KGYM stream, or your smart speaker as well. Scott Docterman covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for The Athletic. Will join us coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media today in Iowa City as the Hawkeyes get ready to travel to Penn State to take on the Nittany Lions, or at least that is the scheduled game coming up on Saturday afternoon. And that will be a 2:30 kickoff, I believe, on the Big Ten Network. We will get things underway at 12:30 with Before the Boom, the Hawkeye pregame show. That'll be on 107.5 along with 106.3 FM for you. We'll talk about that and many other things on the program here today. And also, a big headliner here. We've got another opportunity for you to win from Cedar Ridge as we've got another bottle of delicious mouth-watering bourbon to give away. And we've got Mark Dukes' Bourbon Bonanza question of the day. Do you like that, Mark? I just came up with that moniker for you.
I can tell, and I do like it. The question today is going to be, I think, more difficult than yesterday's softball. So you've got some time to, let's just say, bone up on the history of Cedar Ridge.
That's right. And, of course, Cedar Ridge, the first craft distiller in the country to produce the number one selling bourbon in any state. And to celebrate that and to celebrate the fact that it would make an excellent gift this upcoming holiday season for anyone, friends, family, whatever, we've got an opportunity from Cedar Ridge for you to win a bottle of bourbon. That'll be coming up a little bit later on in the program. Of course, Kirk Ferentz meeting the media today, and we will hear during Alex and Todd's show coming up a little bit later on. Coach's Cuts, it is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Also, players meeting the media earlier on today in Iowa City, and that's a good place to start, Mark, with the coach who was in a happy mood. Why not, after two straight blowout wins for his Hawkeyes?
That's certainly true, and my biggest takeaway was that, and I'm not sure this is really coach speak, but Kirk Ferentz said today, in looking at Penn State, an 0-4 football team, looking at the film, the tape, whatever you call it these days, 0-4 just doesn't add up. And we're going to get into that later in the week, and certainly on Before the Boom, the Iowa pregame show, which you referenced airing before Saturday's game. But the depth chart looks pretty similar to last week. And other than that, no real personnel news that I saw out there.
No, not anything too out of the ordinary. There is some injury news. Good news. Coy Kronk is back at practice this week. Kirk said that. He gave his famous "We'll wait and see." There, we'll wait and see. John Wagner, the former West Des Moines Dowling Maroon, is out again this week at his defensive end position, and the rotation at middle linebacker is probably going to stay between Jack Campbell and Seth Benson out there. Both played in the game against Minnesota on Friday night, and they will both be in there and probably rotating at that middle linebacker spot. Matt Hankins is also one of the captains this week. He joins that captain's group with Chauncey Golston, along with Neiman, Duncan, Linderbaum, and Mekhi Sargent. So those are your captains this week for the Hawkeyes. Did anyone ask him about the statement?
Not that I saw. I think in our conversation with Mike Halas yesterday of the Gazette, I opened the questioning with Minneapolis Star Tribune column, which called Kirk Ferentz petty for, first of all, going for a two-point conversion in the third quarter, and then with 19 seconds left, calling three timeouts. If it was asked, I missed it. If it was asked, I would have expected Kirk Ferentz to say, I visited Floyd today and he's doing good.
Yes, Floyd in his usual spot down in Iowa City. And everyone that follows the Hawkeyes is very glad to have that opportunity to see the pig one more time. We'll talk with Scott Docterman about that coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk some Iowa men's basketball as well. Still nothing, I believe, as far as the schedule is concerned. There was some conjecture that it might be out today, but still nothing there as far as a men's basketball schedule is concerned. And who knows, really. We know there's more than likely not going to be fans in Iowa City. I'm not sure how things have changed as far as Ames is concerned, as far as what the governor came out with last night. Many things have changed and will change from now until December the 10th. And there'll be limitations as far as gatherings inside, outside, sporting events, non-sporting events, what have you. And just be, all we'll say is be mindful out there, do your due diligence. Just get back on the horse here as far as getting those numbers down. And hopefully we'll have some basketball coming up, especially at the high school level starting in December. Most everything as far as high school basketball is, if it hasn't been postponed as of yet through November, you may want to check it out. It is in big jeopardy, I would say, from now through December the 10th at least. But again, not all games have been canceled. Not all schools have gone online. But a vast majority of them have. Among the postponements today, Rivalry Saturday, the big annual event at Coe College, which was scheduled on the 28th, Saturday the 28th. They are still going to try to get that going again. Scott Monk, who does a great job as the organizer of Rivalry Saturday, the head coach at Maquoketa Valley, Jeff Linder's number one preseason team, by the way, in their class. He is said that Saturday, January the 30th, they are shooting for now at Coe College as the makeup day, if you will. And it would be a makeup day in its entirety. But that's what they are looking at, and see if they can get things rolling by that day. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and due to Governor Reynolds' new proclamation, which extends through December 10th, it does affect this weekend's state high school championship games in the Unidome. Only two tickets per participant, per athlete, are going to be able to be issued. Last week during semifinals, the crowds were capped at 2,400 fans per game. It's going to be at least half that.
Much less than that,
for the state championship games, yeah. And I don't prefer to comment on it other than to say that if my grandson was playing in the state championship game this weekend, which he's not, but if he were, I would expect him to give those two tickets to his parents. The next two in line would be his brother and sister. I think I'm about fifth on the depth chart. But you're going to have a hell of a time keeping me away from the Unidome if my grandson was playing for a state championship.
Yeah.
And that is neither to say whether this proclamation is right, wrong, or indifferent. My personal, everybody's situation is different. I mean, if you don't have a high school athlete, if you don't have a high school band participant, your perspective is totally different than if you were a parent or a grandparent, or we have split families out there with four parents, and two of them are going to get to go to the game. So it makes it very difficult, a lot of difficult things during these times. But yeah, good luck keeping me away.
Yeah. Matt Koss, our friend from the Quad City Times, just came out. He has talked with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. They are two tickets per student athlete, but they have said that the supporting participants, coaches, managers, trainers, cheerleaders do not get any tickets. So, yeah, come to your own conclusions on that. There's no team that's going to have over 80, and that's two per 80. That's 160. You're getting 160 people in a side of that seats 8,000.
Per side.
Well, they're only going to go with one side, too. He also has said that. They're only going to have one side open at the Dome. So, it is what it is, and we're all going to get through this and do your due diligence, but we're going to play football. And we'll have Regina's game on Thursday for you right here on KGYM 106.3 FM at 1:45 in the afternoon. So, much more opportunity for listenership on 106.3 FM with Miles and Gary coming up on Thursday afternoon as Regina goes for a championship against number one Grundy Center, number one versus number two as far as that is concerned. Text line available at 319-366-1600. Greetings, Mark, from Cyclone Tim, who sent you a picture on the text line of a tombstone with RIP Chicago Bears on it. And you'll carry on the best as you can, Skol Vikings. I'm sure you've heard that from many folks today.
I have, and David and Hudson following that up with the same remarks after Minnesota's 19-13 victory. Ugly as it was over the Chicago Bears last night, and I'm not here to sugarcoat it. You folks out there know I'm a Bears fan. This is a historically bad offense in Chicago. If Chicago would have had any offense at all, it would have won that game going away because it has a good defense. But this team is right alongside the New York Jets in multiple offensive categories as being among the worst in the NFL. And now another quarterback change is being contemplated, apparently, by head coach Matt Nagy. We've seen Trubisky. We've seen Foles. Neither one is a quarterback going forward for the Chicago Bears. I mean, Nagy gave up his play calling last night. What did it result in? 149 total yards. Come on. The Bears did nothing at the trade deadline. They didn't have their number one running back last night. They're going with Nick Foles, who hasn't done anything since the Super Bowl. Is it the quarterbacks or the play calling? Offensive line has been banged up. There's no excuses for the Chicago Bears. At 5-1, I was never disillusioned that this is a good football team. And now at 5-5, I'm even more convinced than ever. This team, I don't think, is even going to hang on to second place in the division at this rate.
It may, we'll see. Man alive, it's not looking good as far as Chicago football is concerned. Bears are trending the wrong way. That is 9267 who says that. And I can't disagree with him. I don't think you're going to disagree with him either.
I don't at all. And if you weren't a fan of the team, either team, or you were maybe a fan of defense, that was a boring football game, Scott.
Unless you like
that
defense.
That was a boring football game, except for Cordarrelle Patterson's 104-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. That game, aside from the defensive end, lacked a lot of excitement.
Very true. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Bourbon to give away a little bit. Later on, as far as the program is concerned, we'll have that before 4 o'clock here today as Buttons has joined us. So we are at full strength now. 2030 reminds you, you get Green Bay next as well, Mark. So best of luck with that, as they say.
The Bears have a bye week this week to try to figure things out. I do not expect that football team to change things around in that amount of time. So that's the truth. Green Bay next.
8230 says very happy they still get to play as far as the football playoffs are concerned, and we agree with that because it sounds like Minnesota is going to stop their playoffs right now as far as the Minnesota High School League is concerned. So I think everyone's kind of getting the fingers crossed, taking every precaution. Hey, we were there. They took every precaution available to clean the dome and did a very, very fine job. Trust us, they took their time cleaning it because we got in and got set up about 2 minutes before the national anthem. And we couldn't get in any quicker than that the other night as far as our semifinal game was concerned. But they're keeping everybody and their health paramount as far as the Unidome is concerned. 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the program. We're going to talk to Scott Docterman here in just a few minutes from The Athletic. Talk some Iowa football with him. And some Iowa men's basketball as well. Speaking of basketball, Mark, Greg Marshall is out at Wichita State. And much like Will, he's not quite getting the Will Muschamp money to go away, but he's getting $7.5 million to go away from Wichita State after allegedly abusing players in many different ways, according to several published reports anyway. But he will not be the coach of the Wheat Shockers this year.
Well, between Muschamp and Marshall, that's a ton of money in these times where athletic departments are strained to the limit. And to have those kind of buyouts, in Marshall's case, I get rid of him at any cost if those allegations are true. So, but that's really a tough time, more strain on the athletic departments, buying out coaches that are, I never understood the buyouts anyway, but they are what they are. They're in place. They're part of a contract, and schools are going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. By the way, I just saw this on the Twitter, and this from Randy Peterson, of course, a friend of the show. Covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Des Moines Register and just posted a story that I'm going to have to read when we're done here, Mark, about Cedar Rapids, Washington's Land and Acres. So I look forward to reading that after the program here today. So if you're a Warrior out there or a Land and Acres fan, it's out there on Twitter as far as Randy Peterson is concerned.
Very good contributor this year and in the past for the Cyclones, especially this year. He's been good as a not a primary receiver, but occasional target, and certainly in the kicking game as well. He blocked a punt in the last outing or next to the last outing, so he's done quite well.
Yeah. Get this in as well. Cub fans very much aware of Theo Epstein stepping down today. It was rumored. He had talked about it earlier on. It has come to fruition today. I believe Hoyer is going to step into that role now, but Epstein helped turn the Cubs around, brought a championship to the north side of Chicago for the first time in over 100 years, and he will move on. And was very forthcoming as far as his comments today, saying that one of the things that he needs to work on is sustainability as far as he's good at putting things together and has to work on sustainability as far as keeping the teams at that championship level.
Yeah, Epstein subscribes to the Bill Walsh professional attitude approach in terms of 10 years at one place is probably long enough. He was in Chicago for 9 seasons, similar tenure with the Red Sox, but you cannot help but credit this guy, and one man does not do everything, but Theo Epstein won 2 championships with the Red Sox and broke an 86-year drought. Went to the Red Sox when he's 28 years old. And with the Cubs, of course, well-documented, first World Series championship in 108 years. But so Epstein will surface again. He's only 46 years old, but he, among others, you know, as he was in Boston and in Chicago, accomplished some terrific things.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. All right, we'll take a break, come back, 3:24. Scott Docterman of The Athletic will join us on the other side. Don't forget, we've got a delicious bottle of Cedar Ridge bourbon to give away before 4 o'clock today. We'll do that coming up. But we'll talk some Hawkeye football and basketball when we return after this on KGYM.
When we first moved to town, I inquired about banks in the area that were very customer-friendly and family-focused, and I was referred to Midwest One Bank.
We're talking with Dr. Azeem Ahmed about Midwest One Bank.
I love the fact that Midwest One Bank hangs on to our mortgage. It allows us to feel that we're banking locally.
Midwest One Bank has a variety of home loan programs for local mortgage service.
Midwest One Bank really simplified it for us. Midwest One Bank is definitely part of the community. They truly are invested in the community.
Midwest One Bank is simply better banking. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to credit approval.
Hello, and welcome to Elf Training 101. Today, we'll be learning about decorating Santa's castle.
Ooh, I love this stuff. Come on, let's put up the light to get the big striped North Pole sign up on the roof.
Now, just a minute, Jingle. There are a few things we need to learn before we decorate.
Like how to string popcorn?
No, like safety procedures.
Safety? What?
Just like Linn County REC taught us. For example, we always check our lights to be sure they have a UL safety certification.
Got it. I'm gonna go get the hammer to get started.
And we never use metal staples or nails because that can damage the insulation on the wires.
Oh.
And when we put the North Pole sign on the roof, we make sure it's clear of overhead power lines.
Huh.
You see, safety is a big part of holiday decorating.
I guess I've got a lot to learn.
For homework, go to LynnCountyREC.com and get all the info.
Okay, is toy making next?
Next, we study elf fashions throughout the decades.
Power up safely this holiday season with help from Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Keeping cozy inside with a beautiful view of the outside is exactly what you need this winter. And Alexander Lumber has just the right windows from WeatherShield. With a unique ability to combine stunning style with energy efficiency, WeatherShield is creativity expressed in smart design. Alexander Lumber is excited to welcome the full line of WeatherShield windows to the family. See them today at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel. But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you at 3:27 here on the gym class, the Tuesday edition here on KGYM. As we mentioned, we're back to full strength. Buttons on the other side of the glass here. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Yours truly manning the controls here and driving the RV as we go down the road smoothly at 10 and 2 at 55 miles per hour. That is on an express, well, maybe not, 65 on an expressway. So we've got that going. We'll have that bottle of Cedar Ridge bourbon for you before 4 o'clock for you to win coming up on the program here today. Iowa-Penn State coming up on a Saturday afternoon. At least that is on the docket as of right now as we go every 15 minutes to a half hour or so here at the latter portion of 2020. And very happy to have Scott Docterman joining us right now from The Athletic. Does a terrific job of covering the University of Iowa Hawkeyes, all sports, all facets. And Scott, hope you are well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well these days, Scott. I hope the same for you and for Mark and everybody else in the corridor these days.
Yeah. As I said, the game is still on for Saturday, and I think we have to start saying that now each week in 2020.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I know for us as an organization, you know, we cover so many schools nationally that, you know, we've had 15 games canceled last week. We're at, what, like 8 or so this week. You know, people getting, you know, having to change their transportation plans or cancel them all together at the last minute. I mean, our Ohio State reporter was going to Maryland last week. I mean, it's pretty crazy across the board. So you just almost, you have to wait and see on Saturday. Okay, the game's going on, so I guess they'll play, because I know it in Ames, it's probably a little bit more touch and go than it would be in State College right now.
True. Mark. Did we lose Mark? May have lost Mark. We'll get Mark back on here. But, no, I think we got Mark. Mark, are you there? No, may have lost Mark. We'll get buttons on that. See, we put him right back to work as we get going. Let's look back to Friday night, Iowa and Minnesota. Aside from what happened and the shenanigans at the end of the game anyway, boy, another terrific performance by the Hawkeyes and their second straight blowout. This time they get to bring Floyd Rosedale home with them.
Yeah, it was a really impressive victory for Iowa because you knew that Minnesota had a lot riding on that. I mean, it'd been they'd lost five straight going into that game to Iowa. Last year, Iowa broke their undefeated streak. I mean, they were 9-0 and ranked to the top 10, and they come to Kinnick and lose. So they had a lot riding on that game. And yet for Iowa to dominate in the fashion that it did, both sides of the line of scrimmage, defensively, I thought that was probably more impressive simply because Minnesota has a very potent offense. It has an NFL-caliber running back, a first-round talent at wide receiver, and it has a quarterback that I think going into this year we all thought was going to be among the two or three best in the Big Ten. And yet for Iowa to control the line of scrimmage, yeah, it bent a little bit in the running game, gave them a few passes, but by and large to hold them to 7 points, and that was on their second string, you could not ask for a better performance from the Hawkeye defense.
We can't hear you. I think I'm back now, Scott.
You are back.
Okay.
You got the IT department helping you out, I see.
Well, my technologically challenged self accidentally hit the mute button, so I am here. Scott, I want to ask you this question, takeaway that I had from Kirk's session today in reviewing Penn State, 0-4, and he said it doesn't add up, and I tend to agree with him.
Yeah, they're almost every area. I go through kind of a test of about 20 statistics each week just to see kind of where a team fits, then look and make sure that there's, you know, all the players are there or not there or what have you. And really there are only a couple of areas where you look at it and go, okay, that they're not doing well there. One of which is giving up sacks, but by and large, statistically they're doing good. I mean, they've outgained some of their opponents that they've lost to. I mean, you know, Ohio State's in a different realm from everybody else, and I think there was a massive letdown against Maryland. But when you look at the first game and the last game, Nebraska and Indiana, I mean, they really dominated the game, at least in the second half against Nebraska, and it just it didn't work out that way for them. So I think this is a team that's very talented. Its confidence has been shaken. You could tell the loss of some key players, the two running backs in particular on offense, and Micah Parsons on defense before the season, plus shaky play at quarterback, has really turned this team from being what we thought was a top 10 team, maybe even competitive for the playoff, into an 0-4 squad. But, you know, this happens all the time in the NFL, where a team is kind of a figment of its own schedule. And when you play at Indiana, that's pretty good right off the bat, you lose, then you get pounded by Ohio State, which was probably everybody expected. Sometimes it sends you in a tailspin that you can't get out of. And again, that happens a lot in the NFL and much less so in college simply because they don't have those MAC teams to feast on before you get to Big Ten play.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing, though. Maybe the biggest problem of all for Penn State is whoever has been at quarterback, they have not been able to keep him off the ground. Just a sieve-like play on the offensive line for Penn State.
That is the biggest problem for them. Yeah, ranking last and sacks given up, and, you know, no matter if it's Sean Clifford or Will Levis, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, that if you get to the quarterback and you get to him a lot, that you just don't have the time to throw, make your throws and do it accurately. And that's the one area where I've seen the most growth out of this Iowa team over the first four games. The first game against Purdue, it really didn't get any kind of pass rush. And I thought, okay, they're really missing A.J. Epineza. He's the reason why this team's going to kind of struggle on defense. But from what we saw from Zach Van Valkenburgh and some of the other players coming in the other day, I looked at him, I went, you know what? This is a team that's made a lot of improvement on that front. And I think they're capable of creating some disruption and at a minimum, and if not, you know, certainly sacks and turnovers on the other side of it. So that's going to be a real challenge for Penn State, I'm sure, and The one issue is there's no Epineza up there, so you can't necessarily double team anybody or slant protection to anybody that, you know, except if you want to try to do that with Davion Nixon, he'll get doubled on about every play. But other than that, you just, they're going to, Iowa's got a really good chance of really disrupting that passing attack.
Scott, I personally think this is a really big game for Spencer Petras, the Iowa quarterback, who's had mixed results so far, in my mind anyway. And it's on the road, sans fans, I know. But Penn State is a better defensive team considerably than Minnesota. And I'd be surprised if Iowa can rush the ball for 200 yards. Therefore, I think Petras is going to have a pretty good game. And you've seen a lot of Iowa quarterbacks in your career. You've probably seen this before in terms of development, but what are your thoughts on Petras at this point?
I think he's been really inconsistent, and he is kind of the issue right now. And you don't want to put too much pressure on a kid, and I, you know, I try to lay off him. It's not like I'm talking about Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky, which I have no problem. Me and you, Mark, we could go round and round on that one, you know, with beers and for 40 minutes, you know, complaining about the Bears quarterback issues. I won't do that quite with a college kid, but I will say that he is the one area where on this team, when you go, okay, they can run the ball with just on just about anybody. They can certainly defend. They have the best special teams unit, if not in the country, it's in the top one or two. Quarterback is holding them back, and they've got a good wide receiver core. So what does he have to do to get better? And you know, there's some troubling areas that I think he's got to get quicker on. I mean, he's got to make progressions faster. He's got to, you know, find the open receiver. He's been inaccurate, which I think is maybe as big a problem as anything. And you know, he telegraphs his throws. So as a sophomore, you kind of give him, you know, a benefit of the doubt a little bit. But I went through, Ferentz has started six sophomore quarterbacks in his career, and all of them had really difficult situations early in their career. I mean, Drew Tate at Arizona State, he was 8-19 for 44 yards, and they get killed. Ricky Stanzi, when his first major game was against Iowa State, and he was 5-14 and got pulled. And then you look, you know, other ones had had similar struggles. But I think the one thing with Petras is he's got the talent. He's just got to make sure that the game is coming at him a lot faster than I think he was prepared for. And as you mentioned with Penn State, you can't just – they know how to stop Iowa, which is, you know, roll a safety down in the box, make it a numbers game. Iowa will try to go 3 yards on him per down, but that's going to be really difficult to maintain for four quarters. So he's going to have to pass his way out of this. And if he forces those passes the way he has to, particularly to the tight end, Sam Laporta, who has 32 targets, instead of even a receiver like Amir Smith-Marset or Brandon Smith, then there's going to be some turnovers. And the last thing you want to do with a team that's desperate and hungry like Penn State is get into the fourth quarter and it's 17-17, and they're thinking, okay, we could get one here against a pretty good team. So what Iowa needs to do is come right out of the bag and, you know, really hit them in the mouth, both running and hit for a couple of passes. If they can do that, then Penn State will go away pretty quickly, I think.
Scott Docterman joining us from The Athletic here at 3:38 on the Gym Class on KGYM. We're halfway, or very, depending on how you look at it, in this truncated 3.0 Big Ten schedule. The surprises so far for this team, maybe individually as a unit, and one unit or one place on this team that's got to get better in the second half?
I would say that the surprise for me is a little bit on defense. And I shouldn't be surprised, and I always thought about this going in, going, okay, they lost two starters in the back end to the NFL. They've lost three starters up front. This team's going to struggle a little bit in the pass rush. It's going to struggle on the back end. And it did the first week, and then ever since then, they've been pretty good at it. And then you think, well, Phil Parker's done this for a long time, and he's done it with a lot of, you know, marginal talents, I would say, and sometimes, or at least coming in, and he's turned them into pros. And I think he's done the same thing here. This is if not his best coaching job, it's certainly in the top three that I've seen at Iowa. But then I think also offensive line, this was a unit that you know, was sketchy last year, especially guard, and it really has played well. I mean, I think Tyler Linderbaum and Alaric Jackson are two bona fide pros, and Linderbaum, as good as Iowa centers have been for a while, you know, going back to, you know, guys like Rob Ruggeman and you know, James Ferentz and those guys, he's as good or better than all of them, and he's only a sophomore. And Alaric Jackson's been terrific at left tackle. But, you know, the area they have to get better in, no question, is in the passing game, is at quarterback. And they've got too many good wide receivers to really be this bad, frankly. I mean, it's just, you look at what Nate Stanley had coming in 2017. He had two really young but terrific tight ends, but wide receiver was just a wasteland when he came in, and he was able to get 26 touchdown passes. Now, in a truncated season, that's not going to happen, but I just want to see more. I want to see a couple of explosive plays. I want to see the checkdowns be thrown in an area where the receiver could catch it, and I think right now, if it progresses on this path, there's no doubt in my mind that come next January, they've got to just say, okay, the position's open, and three guys are competing for it.
Scott, big clash in the Big Ten East this Saturday, and that has Indiana at Ohio State, two top 10 teams. Sounds strange to say, but it's true. Ohio State about a 3-touchdown favorite. Do you believe in Indiana or not?
I don't believe in Indiana against Ohio State. I think they've been the feel-good story so far this year, and why not? I mean, they've been able to take out, you know, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, play, and Indiana's obviously not a power. It's kind of the also-ran or the cellar dweller of the Big Ten. To reach this point has been a feel-good story. This is not going to go well for them. It kind of reminds me a little bit, I'm going way back here, but to 2002 Iowa State, when they were 6-1 and then going to Norman, and it immediately got out of hand, and then the floor kind of fell out underneath them. When you look at what Indiana has after this, games against Maryland, which is capable of putting up some points, certainly they go to Wisconsin, that's not going to be easy, and then their in-state rival and Purdue can throw down with anybody. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going to go 4-4, but I think that the back half of their schedule could be a real challenge for them. And I think this week, Ohio State is going to probably show everybody what they're really capable of. And I think Indiana is going to be the squirrel in the middle of the of the raceway here.
Yeah, we'll see if Tom Allen can pull this one out. And he's coach of the century, I think. So we'll see how it plays out. Week from tomorrow night, there may or may not be a college basketball game in Iowa City. We don't know yet. There's no schedule as of yet, but there are rumors to the effect that, North Carolina Central and Iowa could play in a men's basketball game. What do we know about a schedule? And, I mean, with everything coming out last night with Governor Reynolds and the proclamation, I don't know where we are as far as college basketball is concerned, but I know one thing, people would like to see the Iowa men's basketball team on the court.
I think you're right, and I'm kind of waiting too. I think we all are. I mean, I've had different schedules thrown my way at different times, and then those games have gotten torn up, and so you just kind of wait for the next one. And so, yeah, if it's next Wednesday, I think we'll be excited to go see it. I don't know. I mean, I guess with it being indoors in this situation right now with COVID and the explosion, it almost seems like we're going to be prepared for some real craziness ensuing. I mean, you know, the one thing with the Big Ten is in football, they all test the same way. And that's kind of the same case with all the major conferences. And then they've had, you know, some, you know, like the Big 12 has had one football game outside the conference, and you know they've had to have different they share testing methods for that. But I'm really curious as to when you bring in a low level team and how they come in, and what happens if three of them just tested positive, you know, and then you got to cancel that game. I'm really interested to see how this all comes about, and I think the Big Ten, for everybody's sanity, they've been late on everything. for the last 3+ months. And why wouldn't they be late for basketball? But I think they've gotten to the point where they just need to release the schedule. If it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But they've got to do something here, because otherwise they're going to paint themselves into a really bad corner the way they did with football this year.
Scott, if this has been announced, I certainly missed it, but curious, in football, the Big Ten player tests positive, it's 3 weeks, and the coaches, it's 10 days. Do we know how the Big Ten stands on basketball?
I have not heard that finalized at this point, but I guess I'm assuming that it's probably going to have the same standard as football, because, you know, the 21 days, the heart issue is part of it, and you know, in the heart rate, they were really concerned about myocarditis, and I know that, you know, there's been some discussion that maybe they need to shut that down or trim it off by a week or so, but we have not heard anything yet, and I think some of this will probably all come out with the schedule, but again, the messaging from the Big Ten has been problematic at best and pretty bad across the board. Is we just don't know these things. They haven't been very good at communicating it. And I think at this time and in the middle of this pandemic, they need to be more transparent. Instead, it's been less. And because we still have a lot of unanswered questions really about football. I mean, what's going to happen that last weekend? Are they going to play, you know, home sites, or are they going to go to neutral sites? None of that's been decided yet, and that really needs to be. And for football and then basketball, kind of the same thing. I mean, there was discussion that they want to go to some sort of bubble structure, or, you know, home and away. I mean, they got to get this figured out, because right now everything's in limbo, and they're leaving, most importantly, their athletes in limbo.
Yeah. Are there enough basketballs to keep everybody satisfied on this Iowa basketball team?
Good question. Yeah, I think so, as long as Luka Garza scored points. If he doesn't score a lot of points, I think it might be challenging. No, I mean, I think they're going to be fine. I mean, you know, they've got enough depth, and they've got enough scoring people. And I think part of it is their leadership is so strong-minded and unselfish that I think that's helpful. I mean, Luka is unselfish. He just knows he can score, and he does. So why not score? I think you look at Connor McCaffrey, who is probably the strongest willed player on the team, and his ability to really not be concerned about scoring unless it's there helps everybody kind of facilitate the offense. And likewise, Jordan Bohannon's been in that chair for 5 years now, and he's been a part of this as a point guard. And I think they're just genuinely as excited getting assists as they are buckets. And so that allows everybody to kind of feed off of that. So there's no selfishness. But that, you know, and everybody's going to get their opportunities. So I think they'll be fine when it comes to scoring points. I mean, but, you know, this is what makes this interesting for me, is that we've seen a couple of the times when they've gotten in the top 10 that they've fallen out. And I think they've looked a little burnout by the end of the year. I wonder if they can maintain that focus and drive all the way through. If they can, there's no reason to think that they should be at minimum Sweet 16, and if not Final Four, to end the year. If they get a little burnt out and it goes less than that, I think there's going to be a lot of disappointed people around here. So not to put any more pressure on them than they already have, but I do think this is setting up to be quite a special year if they can be as unselfish as they've proven over the last couple of years.
Scott, last from me, I wanted to ask you about the civil lawsuit that is going forward with the former Iowa football players. I know the demands for a monetary settlement have been dropped. What are the possible outcomes of this?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not really a legal mind, so I'm kind of, you know, me and you could probably come up with a couple ideas, and it would probably not be what a judicial system would. I think that, you know, number one, this is probably headed for a settlement because I just don't. It's tough for a public university like Iowa to endure something like this in a trial that's going to have, especially if it happens, let's say next May or June, where there's kind of a vacuum in the schedule, the college sports schedule, and that'll be filled with that kind of news. I'm sure they don't really want that. But that said, I don't see the University of Iowa backing down on certain things such as monetary demands or relieving certain people of their jobs, because, you know, why should they? You know, so, you know, could it be a minor amount of money and some other way of, whether it's funding, you know, some, you know, there's all kinds of different methods I think they could do. I don't think that it's in Iowa's best interest to have this drag out. However, I don't think that they should, you know, accept any kind of blame if they don't believe that there is any. And after what we saw this summer, that they made a lot of moves. And I think some of the players that are filing this lawsuit, I think some of their allegations are off base. So I don't know what the final solution is going to be here, but I think there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of back and forth before they reach a court date. That's for sure.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. And are you headed to Penn State?
We decided to pull that one back yesterday.
Okay,
I was going to, but just the uncertainty right now, because I would hate to, you know, be out there. I heard that there's now like a 72-hour quarantine in Pennsylvania, and we've had so many games canceled that it's just going to be too difficult and unpredictable to do some of these games. Illinois is no problem. I can hop in a car and go there.
Yeah.
Penn State is a little bit farther.
Yeah, and it'll be weird to see Beaver Stadium just about empty playing an Iowa-Penn State game, or Penn State-Ohio State or whatever. Out there in Happy Valley, but should be an interesting game coming up on Saturday. Scott, I always appreciate it. Keep up the great work with The Athletic. Thanks for the time, and stay safe.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Scott Docterman joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM at 3:51. We've got a little business to take care of, Mark.
We do indeed.
We've got some bourbon.
Cedar Ridge Bourbon, we've privileged to give away a bottle each and every day. Kind of gave you a softball question yesterday to our sixth caller. Assume we'll go with number six again today.
Yes, we will. At 319-3, go ahead. 319-366-1600.
We're going to ask you this question. If you're the appropriate caller and can answer it, you will win the bottle of Cedar Ridge Bourbon. The question is, within 3 years, in what year did Cedar Ridge first roll out its first batch of whiskey? Maybe a bit of help, maybe not. Cedar Ridge Winery opened in 2005. When did it first roll out its first batch of whiskey?
What year?
Within 3 years, you got a 6-year range.
There you go. 319-366-1600. We'll start with caller number six. Buttons will take the first correct answer. If you've been a winner over the past 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. Aaron and Marion was our winner yesterday. We'll see who our winner is today, and we'll let you know who that is when we come back here on KGYM.
COVID-19 cases are rising rapidly in our community.
Please do your part to slow the spread and keep our hospitals from becoming overwhelmed.
You can help by wearing a mask in public.
Clean your hands frequently with soap and water or alcohol-based hand sanitizer.
Stay home and seek virtual care when sick.
Avoid group gatherings.
With a recent increase in cases and winter months coming, now is the time to slow the spread of COVID-19.
Thank you for doing your part.
Presented by Unity Point Health St. Luke's and Mercy Cedar Rapids.
It's Menards' last 11% rebate sale of 2020, and we have what you need to keep your home safe. Kidde is the leader in smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, and fire extinguishers. Get peace of mind and save 11% on all Kidde home safety products. Stop into Menards for the last 11% rebate sale of 2020. Savings are good until November 25th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities,
or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pet Boys.
Yeah, this season I actually had little business cards made. Eric Rubino, Fantasy Baseball GM. You can keep that. Sure, the players are famous, but come game day, I decide their fate. What's that? Oh, you make $20 million? Well, I don't like your attitude. You benched! No, I'd never bench an all-star, but I could. That's also why I like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. With options based on my budget, they never throw me a curveball. That's a little baseball reference for you.
Get options based on your budget with Progressive, even if you're not a legend in your own mind. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Jesse's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
As a nurse, not making it to work was not an option. But driving through the snow with my wiper blades struggling, I just didn't feel safe. So I pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts, and before I knew it, an employee was offering to install the wiper blades on my car. I got to stay out of the snow for a moment, and I still made it to work on time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to hear how I almost got off the naughty list this year? I helped Santa save gazillions by having him download Capital One Shopping to his computer. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. You can download it too and save a bundle. You don't even need a Capital One card and it's free. So why didn't I get off the naughty list? Turns out Santa's a stickler for naughty words. Capital One Shopping. It's kind of genius. What's in your wallet?
Savings and available coupons vary.
All right, we've got a winner to congratulate, Mark, with our giveaway with the Cedar Ridge Bourbon today, the number one bourbon in the state of Iowa. Sorry, Kentucky. And Jason in Cedar Rapids is our winner today. And congratulations, Jason. You'll be enjoying some delicious Cedar Ridge Bourbon for the holidays. Or it might be gone by the holidays. Who knows?
Did he nail the year, or was he in the range?
Was he in the range?
The correct answer.
Nailed
correct
it.
Answers.
No.
2010.
2010. Okay. Button says he was within the range. He did not nail the year. 5268, guessed 2012. You were 2 years beyond when the first batch of bourbon came out from Cedar Ridge. Delicious, delicious bourbon, by the way. And more opportunities the rest of the week for you to win right here on KGYM. And another opportunity for you to win with Todd and Alex coming up from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. They've got a $30 gift card from the Vernon Village True Value. And they will have that for you coming up between 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Tomorrow here on the program, we will talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications and all things fantasy football. We will talk with Chris coming up on the program tomorrow. Plenty of interaction before we go here on the text line at 319-366-1600 here to get to. Let's get to those right now. Some of them dealing with your Chicago Bears, Mark. Have the Bears, according to 3277, ever had a good quarterback?
We don't have enough time for me to think about it.
Jim
McMahon, yeah, we had a pretty good team around him as well. Probably Jim McMahon, yeah.
You're not going to throw Bobby. Bobby Douglas had some good years for the Chicago Bears.
He could run. He could barely pass, but yeah, he was all right.
Yeah. 64-29, why is it that the Bears have more often than not been strong defensively but mediocre at the quarterback position throughout history? That's the million-dollar question.
Well, they don't call them the Monsters of the Midway for nothing.
Yeah.
They've always been predicated on defense back to Butkus and on and on and on. So
67-17 says the great Vince Evans, who threw a pass harder than anybody in the history of football ever did. So
yeah.
We'll see how that plays out. Tomorrow we will talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com. No, Kyle Orton, not the best. Now you've gotten everybody all riled up about the quarterbacks that the Bears have had. All right, Mark.
Not Bob Avellini.
Bob Avellini either. Mark, have a good night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right, stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming up next here on KGYM.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups,
hey,
eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep